listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
It was in the early 1970s when I first got interested in alternative medicine, learning all I could about how my body worked and how I could work with it. But even after nearly 50 years of this week I discovered a big chunk of I still don't know by reading Dr. Murray Grossan's book, The Whole Body Approach to Allergy and Sinus Health. Dr. Grossan is my guest today, talking with me about how to help your body defend your health by keeping your nose and sinuses functioning, despite the tremendous onslaught these days of odors, noxious household or work chemicals, and bacteria and viruses as well. So welcome to Full Power Living, where we're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. We welcome your questions and comments. We've got chats on our blogtalkradio.com/FPL or the radio show page of emotionalpro.com. And you can call on our toll-free number, 888-498-0570. And talk directly with Dr. Grossan. Murray Grossan, MD, is a board-certified otolaryngologist and head and neck surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. He's well known for his innovations in sinus and allergy therapy. He's founder of HydroMed, Inc., that markets his HydroPulse nasal sinus irrigator. Time magazine called this irrigator the invention of the year in 2000. Dr. Grossan has talked about his whole body approach for resolving allergy and sinus conditions on radio and television, and he answers questions about his specialty on his blog at grossaninstitute.com, G-R-O-S-S, as in Sam, A-N, institute.com. He's been a previous guest here on Full Power Living when we talked about his ideas from his book, Stress, Anxiety, Your Cure in the Mirror. So, Dr. Murray Grossan, welcome once again to Full Power Living. It's great to have you.
It's great to be there. And I want to congratulate you. Not too many people can pronounce otolaryngology, but you did it. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Years of being married to a neurosurgeon. Because I'm an alternative medicine person, you know. When I first met my husband, I told him I've spent years trying to stay away from people like you.
That's funny.
Because he's a regular medical doctor, right? But he taught me so much. So your stated aim with this book we're talking about today, The Whole Body Approach to Allergy and Sinus Health, is to put your readers in a better position to aid their own health. And I want to say the most powerful thing that reading your book did for me is help me connect the idea that what happens in my lungs also influenced by what happens in my nose. I think people tend to think, oh, I have a stuffy nose, I have a head cold, and not to think about the whole system. And that was one of the things that you definitely got me looking at, the fact that my lungs and my stuffy nose are connected.
That's correct. In other words, in the embryo, the nose and the windpipe and the lungs come from the same area, and they are connected. And what we emphasize is that when you drink chicken soup, not only helps your nose, but also helps your chest, or vice versa. And the importance of my book today is that, as you know, more and more bacteria are growing resistant to antibiotics. And
yes.
I think it's important for people to understand how not to get sick. And, for example, I talk about humor, and it turns out that all the scientific studies have shown that the more you have humor, the better your resistance to infection is. And I think it's very important to know that today, when doctors are confronted with a grieving widow or widower, they emphasize how important it is. Yes, you can grieve, but you also must think about your health and try to, you know, do things that be with friends, only watch funny movies, watch reruns of I Love Lucy and things like that in order to preserve your health. And actually, what's interesting is that some people have to learn humor. I mean, I've had patients who could haven't cracked a smile in 10 years. Of course, what works for me is I hand the patient a Kleenex and I say, "You got a dime?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I got a dime." I said, "Yeah, we charge for the Kleenex." And of course, they break into humor.
Well, you know, we had a guest here, a man who's a friend of mine you might be interested in. He calls himself a dolly-tologist. His name is Alan Klein, K-L-E-I-N, and he specifically talks about the role of humor in medicine and healing. And he used to be a producer on Captain Kangaroo. And if you're familiar with that cascade of ping-pong balls that came down in Captain Kangaroo, he was the one who created that. He's a good person. So colds and flu and allergies and sinusitis, they're all things that can have their origin by what comes into our body through our nose. And our nose and sinuses are, as I'm understanding it, the first part of our body's defense system that bacteria and virus encounter. So how are these conditions, colds, flu, allergies, and sinusitis, how are they related?
Well, they are extremely related because what happens is that somebody's working, for example, as a sander in a factory where he just does a lot of sanding, and he's sanding and inhaling all this dust, which contains extremely bad particles that affect the cilia, the little tiny hairs in your nose and chest. In other words, normally the bacteria enters your nose and gets trapped in this liquid called mucus. And then the little tiny cilia, which act as oars, they move the bacteria or the virus out of the nose, down the throat, into the tummy, where it's inactivated by the stomach acid. On a bad smog day, if you live downwind of the volcanoes, things like that, your cilia quit working well. And now the bacteria enter your nose and they just lay there. They get married and they have family, and eventually they enter the sinus and or the lungs and cause problems. So anything you can do to stimulate or increase the cilia of your nose or chest is good for you. Now, for years, we've heard the yogas say that they go and that they stay well by doing it. Well, turns out that they are correct, because when you go or hum, that vibration is stimulatory to the cilia. If you imagine a bowl of Jell-O, and you turn the loudspeaker on full blast, you're going to see that Jell-O vibrating. So if you are a person who gets frequent colds or gets frequent sinus infections, the more you hum in a low tone, the better. For example, if you take your fingers and place them on your face, right alongside the nostrils, and go you can feel that vibration.
Oh, I can, yes.
Yeah, and then that vibration is what is stimulating the liquid to be less, you know, thick. It actually thins the liquid, and the vibration is also a means of having these little tiny hairs move better.
Wow. And I was fascinated in your book. You talked about how you could test whether they're moving or not by putting a little, I think you put something red and something green in each nostril, and then that's also maybe sweet, that comes out on the tongue, and you time how long it takes in order to know how fast your cilia are moving. I found that very fascinating.
Yeah, that's correct. That's an easy test for the doctor to do. Saccharin is very sweet. So if we put a particle of saccharin into the nose, and then we time to see how long it takes for the person to taste it, then that tells us how the cilia are moving in the nose, and usually it indicates about the cilia and the chest. So if a person tastes it in 5 minutes, why, that means that the cilia are moving normally. If the person only tastes it in 20 minutes, that means the cilia are moving slowly. Now, if the person doesn't taste the saccharin after 30 minutes, we do have a problem.
Yes.
You see, it's a double-edged sword. When they get congested, it's also the extra pollen that's in the air. They don't get a good night's sleep. So if they don't get a good night's sleep, they eat the extra cookie the next day in order to get the energy that they should have gotten by good night's sleep. And so a lot of the people who gain weight do so because, for whatever reason, they're not sleeping well. But tragically, in the 9/11 disaster in New York, most of those rescuers have had chronic sinus and chest problems, because when they were inhaling all this horrible, horrible dust, they ruined their cilia function. You know, it's kind of tragic. I offered my HydroPulse at no cost to the rescuers, but there was so much commotion and so much going on at the time that I was not successful in getting my HydroPulse to these rescuers in time. And
no, that's a shame.
That's one of the sad things in my life. The HydroPulse could have restored much of the cilia function and avoided all this tragic problems they're having.
Well, I'm glad you're publicizing this. In your book, you have a lot of different things. You talk about allergies, you talk about colds, you talk about flu, you talk about headaches, all kinds of things. But regarding allergies, you say that both genes and environment play a role in the development of allergies, that allergies tend to cluster in families. And I would like you to talk a little bit about allergies, because I think a lot of people either have allergies or are concerned about getting them. And you say we have seasonal and perennial allergies. So tell us a little bit about allergy, please.
Sure. Well, you see, allergy is basically a defense mechanism. In other words, when the bad product gets in your nose, your body tries to get rid of it, and the cilia may not be sufficient, although they usually speed up. And so there's a tremendous amount of outpouring of liquid. So when you have an acute allergic reaction, your nose drips quite a bit. But that's your body's effort to get rid of the offending product. Now, usually the nose is smart and can differentiate between ordinary, you know, harmless dust and harmful dust. But unfortunately, the body may not be that smart, and the simple ordinary tree pollen is identified as a bad guy, and the nose puts out this extra liquid and extra swelling and so on. And, of course, the eyes drip and so on and so forth. All of these are attempts to get rid of what the body thinks is harmful. Now, of course, certain things are harmful. For example, many of the dusts and so on. Unfortunately, people, if two asthmatics have a child, that child may have much more allergy than, say, two parents who do not have allergies. But today, persons who are born with eczema you know, the skin allergy. The skin mm-hmm. reacts in an allergy manner, and then develop nasal allergy. Those are the ones who benefit quite a bit by having allergy specialized treatment. And today, allergy treatment has come a long way, because instead of going twice a week for shots, many patients respond to simply putting the what we call the antigen, the thing that builds up the resistance, as drops under the tongue. And under the tongue, you get a very good absorption. And many of the people who need desensitization will respond to that kind of treatment.
Good to know.
So, yeah, and the reason we emphasize treating these young people with that kind of history is that that way we might be able to prevent them getting worse and going into asthma.
Okay, that's really good to know. I'm thinking a bit about, I have a granddaughter who has a lot of allergies, particularly to dander. The question we ask is, what can we do to cultivate better sinus, nasal, and respiratory health, perhaps without taking antibiotics? And Dr. Grossan has answers for us coming up here next on Full Power Living. Be right back.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. Call in now to talk with Dr. Murray Grossan, head and neck surgeon from Cedars-Sinai Hospital and author of The Whole Body Approach to Allergy and Sinus Health, 888-498-0570. I have a few announcements. And I want you to go now to our homepage at emotionalpro.com and click the subscribe button on the left-hand side so that you allow us to send you our twice-weekly newsletter advising you about our upcoming shows. Next week on Full Power Living, I'm very excited to have another former guest, Michael Brown, who talked with us about the presence process and the radiance of intimacy. He'll be appearing to share his experience in telling stories of cats to a woman named Mariette, a young woman with whom he met and talked for quite a while in his home country of South Africa. It's filled with wisdom, laughter, and spiritual ideas. Dr. Murray Grossan is my guest today. Murray Grossan, MD, is a board-certified otolaryngologist and head and neck surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Grossan, you've been a medical doctor and ENT specialist for many years, and you're advocating that people take a bigger role in healing themselves. So I have a question for you. Are people today more or less interested in taking an active role in their own healing than they were, let's say, 30 or 40 years ago?
Well, there's more opportunity today because of the internet. they can go on the internet and they can look up all sorts of things. But, you know, you got to be really, really careful when you go on the internet. I mean, you go on the internet and you say, and you find a group, never trust a doctor. I had this lump in my breast and the doctor brutalized me and so on and so forth. If you have a lump on your breast, take miracle Bora Bora juice. It shrunk my lump in the breast, and now I avoided that horrible doctor with his knife. So there are universities, there are Mayo Clinic, there are places like that that try to give good advice. But there are also places where they give horrible, horrible advice, especially on Facebook. I mean, the people who are really, really depressed and suffering from whatever reason, let's say arthritis, they are the ones that give the horrible, you know, stories and suffering and so on and so forth, and would make anybody depressed. So try to stick to programs like yours. Try to stick to universities and things like that. And there have been many cases where somebody who's very sharp made his own diagnosis after he researched the internet on his symptoms. And so he quit his job and spent all his money because he figured he only had a short time to go. And then when he finally saw a doctor and the doctor explained to him that, no, what he had was, you know, nothing harmful, he had lost his job and lost his girlfriend and was in a bad way. But the other thing, too, again, is that people with a lump in the breast and things like that might avoid going to the doctor and just rely on the miracle Bora Bora juice picked by virgins in the moonlight. So you've got to be very careful on whose advice you take. Speaking of advice,
right.
What's the best thing for a common cold is Netflix. Because on the one hand, you get a cold, so you run to the pharmacy in the rain, and you buy the nose spray, the liquid, the tablets, the cough medicine, and so on, and go home in the rain. And by the end of the week, you have to see your doctor. Or you go home, you turn on Netflix, a good comedy, and you sip some hot drinks like hot tea and chicken soup and stuff like that. And usually the next morning you feel much better. My recommendation for the common cold is Netflix.
Well, you know, I wanted to just follow up on what you were saying about people getting advice off the internet. My husband, who passed away in January, was a neurosurgeon, and he got really upset. He was on like a brain tumor list on the internet, and people would have all kinds of ideas like your Bora Bora juice. And he said, listen, if somebody is the only one who has the answer and they have not been peer-reviewed and they charge a lot of money for their cure, stay away from them. And I thought that was a good way to look at it.
Well, yes, that is correct. But again, you can get the other side of the coin is when people take charge. He goes to the doctor for his shoulder, and the doctor prescribes the pills and, you know, the exercise and so on. He comes back in 2 weeks and said, yeah, the pills work good. Now, on the other hand, Robert comes back after 2 weeks with the same shoulder and the same pills and said, hey, doc, those pills didn't work. And the doctor says, well, did you do the stretching? Well, you know, I was kind of busy. Well, did you take the pills three times a day with a glass of water, like I said? Well, I had company from out of town. So the person who takes charge, who takes the pills as directed, who thinks about what the pills are for, who even visualizes that this antibiotic is going to knock the crap out of the bad guys, who engages his whole body in the therapy, that person is going to respond to the therapy much better than the person who forgets to take the pills and so on and so forth. In other words, there's a reason why 20% of the people in the placebo trials got exactly the same results as the people taking the real pill, because the brain is what did the healing. And there's also a reason why the people who in the clinical trials who took the real pill did not respond to the real pill, because they really did not engage the whole person in the therapy. So my advice to anyone, if you got a cold, yeah, take the tea, take the lemon and honey and so on and so forth, take the some humorous thing. When you engage the whole person, that makes a huge difference.
I mean, right.
Doctors every day see a patient who comes in and says, well, the pills didn't work. Well, did you stop the coffee like I told you to? Well, not really. And did you do the stretching? Well, no, I didn't get around to it. And so they did not engage the whole person, the whole body, in the healing. And so therefore the brain was not engaged.
Yes, and that's a major point that you're making in your book, including the title, The Whole Body Approach, that we really want to end of getting well. And to that end, imagine it, help our body in whatever way we can. I want to get back to the antibiotics, though. I myself have not taken an antibiotic for close to 35 years.
Good for you.
Well, a long time ago, it didn't seem like it was a really good idea to just be shoving something down, and I'd read about the fact that we might get some very smart bugs after a while for which the antibiotics would not work. It's not that you wouldn't prescribe antibiotics. It's that you're saying if we can involve our whole self, our whole body in healing, the antibiotics can be the last thing that we do instead of the first thing. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes. In other words, the person who ignores the pain in his sinus and simply stays out late, continues to go party drinking and so on and so forth, who doesn't go to bed and, you know, try to get good sleep and so on, that person's sinus is going to get worse. On the other hand, the person who works to improve his cilia function, works to improve his natural immunity, may be able to get over his sinus infection without any antibiotics. I mean, I have dozens and dozens of patients who always, you know, had three or four sinus infections every single year. But now with the therapies we're talking about, as soon as they feel the cold coming on or the infection coming on, with the hydropulse, with the humming, with the tea, lemon, and honey, and so on, they will avoid infection year after year. The reason people with seasonal allergy get sinus infections, after sneezing for about 6 weeks, the cilia are exhausted. And so they are getting an infection because the bacteria are remaining in place. The cilia are no longer moving the bacteria out. And so they will get an infection. But if they switch to improving the cilia, the hydropulse, the tea, lemon, and honey, the humming, and so on, then that will prevent the sinus infection.
Right. And that's something that I didn't fully understand, that we actually need to be an active participant in helping those poor little cilia who do get exhausted or tired. Now, you're the inventor of the hydropulse machine. And let me bring up something from a previous show. One of the things that you've done over the years is help keep scuba divers and pilots with their noses and sinuses functioning without antibiotics because, or without medication whenever possible, because medication always has side effects. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about what HydroPulse is and why you created it.
Well, I was at one of these retreats, and I met a yoga master called Indra Devi. And she explained to me that she's never had a cold or a sinus problem. And what she does, she makes the saline, and she sniffs it rapidly in and out of her nose. And she demonstrated it to me. And I noticed that she was using exactly the same pressure and exactly the same rate of speed. And it suddenly occurred to me that what she was doing was stimulating her nasal cilia. And so at first I tried to teach patients to do this, but that was that did not work. So I made the HydroPulse as a means of doing it automatically. And so that worked very well. But again, my patient Judy came to me, called for an appointment for Tuesday. She'd been to her medical doctor, she'd been to her internist, she'd been to her pulmonologist, and she still had this god-awful cough and feeling in her chest. And so she was going to come in on Tuesday. So she called on Monday to cancel the appointment. And I said, you're feeling better? She said, yeah, my grandmother came to visit me. She made the chicken soup that always makes me well. And after I had the chicken soup, I quit coughing. My chest feels fine. Now, what happened here? Well, first of all, the mind remembered how she always got well with grandma's chicken soup. The thing is that chicken soup does have L-theanine, which is a very useful enzyme that does stimulate cilia and so on, and the immune system. And as you know, in my book, I have a formula for Dr. Josephson's grandma's chicken soup formula,
yes,
which, by the way, he uses for his patients. So here, the mind had a lot to do with things. And also, I've had patients who the wife kept, nagging them to go to her massage therapist with their illness. And finally, they did go to the massage therapist for their bad sinus. Now, how would a massage cure a sinus condition? Well, the massage relaxed the person. Instead of the anxiety, stress about his condition, he was fully relaxed for the hour that he had that massage, and he felt relaxed afterwards too. Well, once he was relaxed, that allowed his immune system to kick in and do their job.
And smiling does that too. We talked about humor, but you also make the point in your book that just putting a smile on your face offers the body different chemicals which are beneficial to the immune system.
Yes, they did a study, and they took a group and just asked them to keep a smile on their face all through the winter. And in that group, there were very few colds compared to the other group who had the normal two or three colds during the winter. Incidentally, in cold weather, your cilia slow down. So when you come out of the cold, before you rush to the elevator or to the classroom, if you can take a minute to walk around in the hallway or something like that, allow your nose to warm up, then your cilia will be able to move the bacteria out once you are exposed in the elevator or the classroom. And that can really, really cut down on the winter colds.
And let's put in here, too, you have a whole section on how to prevent colds when you're traveling. So it's very similar. You're in an enclosed environment with other people who may be sick and not a lot of air circulation. Is there anything you would add, like for people doing air travel to help them stay well?
Well, I have my patients carry their own tea bags, because it's pretty hard to ask, special tea and all that, but it's easy to get hot water. And also for my patients who always get sick when they travel, I have them use my Breeze nasal gel. What this does, it forms, well, I use the analogy like a cellophane coat over the nasal membranes. So when the bacteria lands on the nasal gel, it can't penetrate and get into the nasal tissue itself. And for my patients who always get sick when they travel, this has been a godsend because one of my patients couldn't visit her grandchildren because whenever she arrived, she was sick and, you know, they had to keep her away from the grandkids. Now she uses the nasal gel when she travels, and that prevents it.
So if not your patient, how do I get hold of your nasal gel?
Again, go to www.hydromedonline.com. That has all the information. Or you can just Google Grossan nasal, and I come up all over the place.
Okay, because you also have some drops that you've created that you put between your teeth and your cheek that are helpful
Papain from papaya and bromelain from pineapple are what's called proteolytic enzymes. And I developed this thing called Clearease for my scuba divers. The main problem is getting their ears plugged so that they can't clear their ears. And so developed a combination of papaya and pineapple enzymes that you put in your mouth between your cheek and your gums. And that way it's absorbed. If you swallow papain or bromelain, it's inactivated in stomach acid. So by using it in the buccal pouch, it's absorbed properly. What it does, it shrinks the swelling around the eustachian tube and shrinks the swelling in the nasal tissue. It's also good for people who have swollen joints. And what's nice about it, there's no side effects. In other words, this could be used by pilots and so on. Treating scuba divers is one way of coming up with unusual treatments because pills behave differently at 100 feet when you're scuba diving. So I have to come up with ways of treating people without antibiotics, without pills.
And for those of us like me who don't like taking antibiotics and pills, you're a godsend. So I certainly, I'm going to be taking off in my RV. I'd love to have some of your Clearease for when I'm driving, if I'm having any kind of a problem. That would be really helpful.
The nice thing about it is you don't have to worry about affecting your driving. It's no different than eating papaya. I'd like to say a word about your program of anger. You know, many of the auto accidents are from people who get angry.
Yes.
And I think I would recommend people who find themselves in traffic and cursing and swearing and feeling like they want to, you know, hit that bastard, cut in front of them. They can go over and actually do these things. And, of course, you've seen these videos of people getting out of the car and fighting with each other and so on. But in order to prevent traffic accidents, I think it's important for people to learn anger management.
Yes. Well, I push anger mastery. And the reason I want anger mastery is because to me, it's like working with a herd of wild horses or even one wild horse. You know, management is to get the horse to do what I want it to do, but I have to pay attention to doing it every single time I interact with the horse. But if I'm a horse whisperer and I help the horse to master certain skills, then the horse will do that automatically and I don't have to keep checking on it all the time. So mastery is like getting at the center of what it is that creates anger. And in my learning, anger is a signal that tells us that we've got an idea how things are supposed to be in the world that is incorrect. And we need to identify what it is and make the correction, and then we won't be getting angry anymore. So it's very simple, Yet, once you are the master of it, then you don't have to keep working with it all the time. I'm sure that works in what you work with also. Once I know how to keep my cilia happy and work with my health through my ENT system, I don't have to keep thinking about every step I take. That makes sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's, again, it's very, very important. You see, when people read your work, it's useless unless they do the exercises and practice doing those procedures. In my book, Stress, Anxiety, Your Cure is in the Mirror, in my preface I say, reading this book is absolutely useless unless you actually do the exercises, the repetition and so on and so forth, the special breathing and all that. So, again, reading about it is useless unless you do the procedures.
Right. Well, the nice thing about the body and the emotions, Dr. Grossan, is that if you don't get it the first time, the body will get sick again. Eventually, people go, okay, all right already, I'll do the exercises. And then once they do them and find somebody such as you who've been working in this field and helping people effectively, you actually know what you're talking about. You know, it's a wonderful thing to discover that.
Eileen, should we talk about growing the brain?
See, please.
People don't understand that just because you're 80, your brain is going to go downhill. But actually, you can grow your brain. Learning odors. The more you practice learning odors, the more you stimulate the stem cells in your olfactory area. That's the brain area, the smell area, pardon me. And you actually can grow your brain. MRI studies show that when people take a course on learning to play bridge, you can actually see new parts of the brain being active that were not active before. One of the things that everyone should do when you go to the department store, feel the material before you see the label. Is it nylon? Is it silk? Is it some other material? You can learn to improve your skill on feel. And all doing that, and then go to the counter where they have the perfumes and try to identify, is it roses? Is it lavender? And so on. The more you do that, the more you stimulate your brain. And you can
answer. Really.
Now, of course, the other side of that coin is drink wine all the time to identify what the samples are. But seriously, when you go to the closet, feel the material before you pick out the dress. Learn to feel, to identify the dress by feel rather than by sight. That stimulates your brain.
I believe it's interesting. My learning is that more knowledgeable people in a particular field strive for simplicity because, in my experience, truth is simple. And that's one of the things that I feel like you have done here with this book. I have never encountered such clear and thorough explanations of the issues of the respiratory system as I did in the whole body approach to allergy and sinus health. And believe me, I've done quite a bit of reading. I've just never understood the issues of colds and flus and sinusitis and allergy and maintaining sinus health the way I do now. So I really want to thank you, Dr. Grossan, for such a clear and thorough book and for encouraging us all to protect ourselves in simple ways. And one of the things that you talk about that I've also encountered in other areas is if you've got a problem with your sinuses or your nose, get up right away. Don't let it keep going on forever without doing anything about it. Would you comment on that, please?
When your nose is clogged and having poor airway, first of all, it affects your sleep. And you want to get that clear. That's one of the important reasons for clearing it up. You know, when people have a deviated septum or nasal deformity, the first thing the doctor thinks about is, will it improve their sleep? And if it's going to improve their sleep, then you have a real indication for correcting a deviated septum or something like that.
Surgery.
The other thing is that the longer the sinus stays blocked because the cilia are not draining it, the more the bacteria multiply and can do harm to your system. In other words, the bacteria that are in your sinus, if they're the bad kind and if they're multiplying too much, they go through your body and affect your entire system. That's why you feel tired and sluggish and so on and so forth. In many cases, irrespective of the sinus condition, getting the cilia to work properly can restore a bad sinus. And that's why the hydropulse, the hydropulse is not a device that goes into your sinus cavity and flushes it out. The hydropulse is a device that gets the cilia moving so that they will drain the blockage and clear the sinus. Of course, again, it doesn't work in every case, but certainly a lot easier to do that than to start surgical procedures.
Yes. I would just make note, you know, I wasn't saying anything earlier, but I was thinking that my husband, the neurosurgeon, would also say that when you've got bacteria or infection that close to the brain, especially when you have through the ethmoid, I think it is, the access to the brain, then you also, you could get meningitis from that also, I think. Is that true?
Yes. See, one of the things that the hydropulse is important on is that you control the pressure. The directions are to have the stream less than an inch high. That means that the pressure is not high enough to force stuff into your brain from the sinus. In other words, people that blow the nose too hard, they can blow the bacteria through the ethmoid area into the brain. So heavy nose bleeding, heavy nose blowing is very bad. And it's very important when you sneeze hard to have your mouth open, because you don't want high pressure in the nasal passages.
I have very loud sneezes. There are times when I try to keep my mouth closed just so I don't blast people away. So really, and I think we don't always think about this, our nose and our sinuses have to do with the health of our entire body and brain. And therefore, we need to love them more. We need to help our cilia when they get tired. And I just think your message is so important. And it's a way that I never have thought about that those aspects of my own body. And I really thank you for bringing that to our attention. Let me remind you who are listening that you can go to hydromedonline.com to find out more about the nasal gel and the hydropulse and all the things that we've been talking about with Dr. Grossan today. Well, the time has come, Doctor, for us to end all this fun that we've been having. I really enjoy talking with you. So thank you for being our guest.
It's been a real pleasure, Eileen, and I appreciate your calling me. Have a wonderful trip.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to it. And I want to remind people that you do a blog also at grossaninstitute.com, I believe. I did get one statement here on the chat that you're a very engaging fellow, Dr. Grossan. I wanted to just pass that on to you.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet. I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you very much for being on Full Power Live and talking with us about the whole body approach to allergy and sinus health. Let us know when you get your next book done.
Okay, thank you, Noam.
Next week, listen again as I talk with the ever fascinating Michael Brown about his latest work, Cattails for Mariette. His work is of such a caliber that his books are published by Namaste, the publisher who got started in order to publish the works of Eckhart Tolle. So I'm sure you'll find him interesting and fascinating. I look forward to having you with us next Thursday. Thank you for listening today, and tell your friends and family about us and the real stuff we have on our shows. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. For now,
I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.